to worship. We come into this space because it allows us the gift and the grace and the opportunity to lean in, to come together, to practice what we believe from our entering to our exiting, that all that we gain, we might take out into the world with us. And so in this moment, as I prepare to offer an interpretation, a storytelling, an invitation into your word, may the words that I bring out and bring forth truly resonate with the message that you have for each of us today. However we may uniquely share and hear it, that your kingdom will truly be built up in this world out of this good moment in time. In Jesus' name, amen. So I took a couple of preaching classes and I've tried without it, and my preaching professor's like, you should just sing before every time you preach. It seems to help you out. I know some folks saw a social media post about me, like, maybe I should cross stitch while I preach. And I'm like, I didn't bring my cross stitch in, so I'm going to stay over here at the piano. But usually something does strike me and inspire me to think a little more clearly if I engage in song first. And there is a song that came to mind that I hope you'll find the connection along with me as we journey together. It's actually in the United Methodist Hymnal, believe it or not, page 728, in case you want to look at it while I sing it. The title is Come Sunday.
God Almighty, God of love, please look down and see my people through. I believe that God clouds passing by. Lord, dear Lord above, God Almighty, God of love, please look down and see my people through. Heaven is a goodness time, a brighter light on high.
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, and have a bright by and by.
Lord, dear Lord above, God Almighty, God above, see my dear Lord, above God Almighty, God of love, please look down and see my people through.
Who are you feeding? Who are you feeding? Who are you feeding? Are you feeding yourself? Are you feeding your kids? Are you feeding the world? In our text, we have a widow, and she is preparing. She's preparing to feed herself and her child. And she's preparing in a moment in time where it seems like all is lost, and she's taking the last steps that she can think of, collecting just a couple sticks, so that she can cook this final meal, knowing that this is the end, and die alongside her child. Sometimes when we have those this is the end moments, they're not so dramatic. Sometimes they are. And I have a feeling we experience some of those in moments that are pretty common to many of us. I was reminded as I was trying to prepare notes and thoughts for this sermon of an illustration. I've heard in a lot of sermons, but it kind of went a whole nother left field for me, where you get on an airplane and there are those instructions when if the oxygen masks come down, you put on yours first and then you take care of somebody else, your child or whoever, right? And so there's this care, this intentionality that happens in this, oh my gosh, this is it. And so we lean in and we focus on ourselves and our needs and our challenges with all of that's happening in the world around us and how it all seems to have crashed, if you will. And we just can't do anything else. And I might jump back and forth a little bit, so try and hang on with me, friends. And as I went back to the text again, having that side tangent of a thought, I was reminded of Elijah. And when we hear the beginning and you read the beginning, if you don't have your Bibles out and you want to look at it while I'm talking, do so, because you might want a reference. But there are these words that Elijah is told, that a widow has been ordered to care for him. Guess what? This is the widow, y'all. The one in the deepest depths of the hardest times, of the worst of moments in her life. And here comes Elijah, following what the Lord has told Elijah to do, to go seek out this woman, to go and stay there, not to go and see what works out, to go and follow through and be present. And he shows up and makes this ask of this woman. This woman who's having the worst day. Can you imagine being on the plane with this woman? Sitting next to this woman, and the oxygen masks come down, and you realize, oh, I was supposed to get on this plane because of this person. this person I'm supposed to care for and love on and be present with. This person who's having this really hard time doesn't want to hear anything I have to say, really, but in the moment has enough of a mind that when Elijah asks the widow for some water, she's like, fine, and gets the water. The one next to you who, when you ask them, you're like, all right, this is the one I'm supposed to be connecting with in this worst of times. I can tell she's not real happy right now about her life, but I'm going to go and say, hey, can you help me with my strap here? As I put my oxygen mask on. And it's like, yeah, sure, I'll do that, you know. But then Elijah goes back and says, can you make me some food? Can you bring me a little loaf of bread? Now this widow who is getting just a couple sticks, she has found herself in this weird situation because I bet you in the back of her mind, she knows what's going on here, but doesn't want to admit it yet. Because as you heard, Elijah was told in the text that this widow has been ordered to care for you. And in the middle of this worst of times moment, when Elijah asks for this bread, she's like, you have got to be kidding me. And I can imagine the internal monologue and dialogue. Now, he sees me picking up two. He knows. He knew when he walked up to me that I was a widow. I'm sure I looked disheveled and hungry and all the things. And he wants something from me. And she tells him about himself, basically, like, uh-uh. In case you didn't notice. And breaks down the situation for him. And don't you know, he turns around and says, the Lord told me. Can you imagine that happening right here, right now? The Lord told me that this is what's supposed to happen. Basically, that all things will be well. But don't be afraid. Don't worry. God's got this. And it's interesting because when she tells him about all of this situation happening, that must be obvious. She doesn't just tell him. She says, she speaks to the Lord that he knows. Basically recognizing the reality, this must be who the Lord wants me to do this service for, this care for. In this moment in time, like, he showed up a little too late, didn't he? But she recognizes the Lord at work. He recognizes the Lord at work. And even though she ain't quite ready, he goes ahead and speaks that truth into her life. And being the believing woman that she is, she's probably like, daggummit, fine. Because she knows that this is the moment. This is real. This is true. This is what I think is beautiful about when those crazy life circumstances and moments come about in our lives. When we're on this airplane and it feels like it's about to go down and the air oxygen masks drop and we're trying to figure out this thing. And God had it in God's mind to put us in the same space, to find a way for us to connect. To offer us this opportunity to be present for one another, even when you have nothing else to give. When all you have is a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil. And God's like, that's all I needed. That is all that it takes. And now it's up to you to say yes, to show up, and to be in relationship. You see, I think that the widow was having a deer in the headlights moment. She was gripped to her airplane seat and to her child. And once those masks on the two of them were on, she's like, this is it. Let's get ready. And you're interrupting my flow over here, mister. Like, what can you do for me now? I was looking for you before I boarded the plane. I was looking for you before we got in this situation. But here we are in such situations. But imagine you're in the Elijah seat for a second. And you show up. And you're not in the reactionary deer in the headlights moment. And technically, you don't need this lady's help. But you know, God sent you to be present for this person. So you find a way into the door. You ask a curious question. You ask of something like the water that Elijah asked for. And then you lean in and you follow through and you ask for that bit of bread, that bit of oxygen assist, even though you can reach it yourself. This is what I think God has in mind for us, that when we show up in each other's lives, it's not because we really need you to take me to lunch. Hello, for those who don't remember that invitation. It's not that I really need you to do this for me. It's that we need each other. We need relationship. We need connection. We need to be present enough that when you know that mom's got a tumor behind her eye, when you know that a friend is needing surgery, when you know that any other person in this church is struggling or challenged with situations at school or happenings at home, when you know something's going on and you create this opportunity, or take rather the opportunity already gifted to you to be the church for one another, that is where the gift of provision comes. I think the other fascinating thing about our text is that it doesn't say that the jar becomes overflowing of flour and that this little bottle of oil runneth over, church speak. They had enough. And every day thereafter was just enough. It's like the manna provided to, what was it, the Israelites going out to the promised land or some such. And God's like, I got you. Only take what you need for right now, for today. I got you. I promise I've got you. I swear God is telling us, I got you. I know it feels like the plane is going down, but I got you. And sometimes we need to either be the neighbor, the church member, the counterpart in this community that speaks life and invites asks that show that I don't have all the answers, but within you, God resides. And so I ask you for your help. There's something that happens, and I think it happens a lot with parents, when we're able to show up for our kids, even when we don't think we have anything else to give. It's like, well, lost the job. Well, the car broke down. We only got one vehicle. How are we going to make this work? And I think that the parents that choose paths that lean towards cycling or siloing, living into a cycle of self-preservation, end up becoming much like this widow in this moment in time. I don't think we need to have these come to Jesus moments where all is lost in order to experience divine provision. Sometimes I think we just need to be in consistent relationship with one another. Vulnerable, honest, inviting, lunch conversations, hard times, joys, and all the things. Because in our knowing of one another and one another's needs, we grow, we benefit. I have a feeling that this widow is much like one, let's say you're afraid on an aircraft, you're holding on for dear life. Hey, can you help me with my, it's almost distracting you from yourself, getting you out of your siloed bubble of self-preservation and care and connecting just enough that you release control. There is peace and freedom in releasing our hold on things. This widow released her hold on controlling her death. She released control over the path to her and her child's end. And in that letting go, God provided. Through relationship, through connection, through community. When I think of what it feels and looks like to be the church, I'm reminded of Sunday morning. Come Sunday, whatever's going on in our worlds, if we forgot what it looked like to follow Jesus, if we're losing our way, if we're forgetting, look, if we left Jesus in the car the last time something crazy went down on the road and said, hold up a second. And we're battling and fighting our own way through things rather than connecting with the people that help us stay grounded. The Jesus in me, loving the Jesus in you, if you know that song. Come Sunday, we have the chance to come together in space like this, virtual, in person, or otherwise. Sunday is that kind of that in Lenten or seasons, we call it that Easter time. I think that's what every Sunday is for us. It is our opportunity to take the wildest, craziest circumstances of our lives and the simplest, seemingly insignificant challenges of our lives and bring them all in, journey together with one another through them in our uplifts of prayers and praise and celebration, and otherwise say, come Sunday, that's the day. Let's try this again and keep on moving forward by faith. If we didn't have these days, if we decided these days were not worth our time, if we decided maybe your Sunday life moments, if you're watching online or if there's times that you're out of town, or the Wednesday night if you go to a Bible study, or the Tuesday afternoon if you meet up with some women in faith or something, maybe those are your come Sunday moments with community, with one another. Whatever that looks like for you, this is your chance. This is your chance to say, God Almighty, God of love, please look down and see your people through. Fortunately for us, for those of us who believe, because remember, both the widow and Elijah believed in the Lord. A very different relationship than so us and the strangers in the world that don't know God yet. When we can come together as people of faith and grow and be rooted, then we can do that outward work of building up God's kingdom, inviting others into this thing that we know, this God that we love, these relationships that are so inspiring and empowering. And I hope the next time you feel like church is inconvenient, you decide, fine, I'll show up anyway. And you don't wait for the personal invitation either. I know those are great. They're important. But sometimes that mass church email, anybody got a car that can, that can tow this thing that needs to be towed? That may be the kind of call that the widow got. She happened to be in a room. I'm like, dang it, I bet I'm supposed to be the one serving somebody. It comes in so many different ways. So however God speaks to you, may you listen. However challenging the world may you be in community with others who can remind you that God is at work. And may we always follow through in relationship with one another so that when we do go out in the world, when we do collect these offerings and make these gift boxes, and when we serve this food and we invite people to come to know the God that we know, we do so with hearts that are full and refilled week after week, Sunday after Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen.